and her back, over Bill and his issues, over the families of this church, over our children's ministries across the street. Jesus, over this message, over this moment. Thank you, Lord, that sometimes, though I may feel like you move like a sloth, you're moving at the right pace. And though, Lord, I don't see all I want to see, I speak Jesus. Keep your hand, your anointing upon the rest of this service, God. Anoint this message. Thank you for this worship team, and thank you for all of the volunteers yesterday. Thank you for all you continue to bless that we put our hands to. Thank you to those of you that last Sunday saw the urgent prayer need and responded. We prayed about it in the youth group. Last Sunday, Chandler First Assembly was very, very close to catching on fire. They had a fire that broke out close to them, and it was within 100 feet of the pastor's parsonage. Praise the Lord. Nothing happened. Everything, no damage to their home, no damage to the church. So I appreciate your prayers for that. If it had been our church, I know how I would have been praying. And so that's how I prayed. Some of you get to learn a new word today. It's really a name more than a word. It's a fun one, too. Yeah. That's a fun one. Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. It's a fun name to say. You should just practice it over and over again. Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. I love it. I mean, if I had another kid, maybe I would name it Mephibosheth.
She
don't think so? It's kind of got Sheth in it. Like you're Sean Connery trying to say my name? Sheth. You know? No? I have Jacob Seth. So I couldn't have a Mephibosheth. She's crushing my dreams over there. Look at her. 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. I love this story. But it can be a really difficult story to understand. Starts off in not a great place. Now Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son crippled in his feet. He was 5 years old when the report of Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it happened that in her hurry to flee, he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. It's for a minute, we're going to focus on three words there. And it happened. And it happened. Because that's a... We always want to blame somebody when something happens. Like we have this tendency to want to point a finger and say it was their fault, or it was their fault, or it was their fault. Or even look to the Lord and say, God, why did you do that? Why did you let that happen? Like this is just a kid being taken care of by his nurse. And she takes off in fear and drops him. And it says it happened. Sometimes it just happens. And that's important for us to remember that sometimes it just happens. It just happens that you get sick. It just happens that I broke my leg. It just happens that Carolyn's having back problems. It just happens. Sometimes it's just a part of life. It's a part of us being human. Our bodies are not made to last forever. Right? And that's easier to realize when you're in your 40s than it is when you're in your teens. Right? Or in your 20s, some of us in our 30s, or even into our 40s. This kid was just being a kid, you know, just living, growing up, being taken care of, and it just happened. And I'm going to tell you right now, for those of you that aren't familiar with the story, he doesn't get healed. He never walks again. This isn't a story about healing. This isn't a story about him, you know, miraculously walking again. He stays crippled. It happened. And he wasn't born that way. He didn't start out that way. Started off a regular, normal kid. Gets dropped. Becomes lame. Never walks again. It happened. And I'm really glad because I studied and researched, and I don't see any place in the Bible that says that this was a part of God's plan. Sometimes things happen and it's not a part of God's plan. It's not that God said, hey, you're going to do this and this is going to happen. Right? And it's going to be great in the end. Sometimes it just happens. I feel bad for the kid. He didn't do anything wrong. Like I was just sitting there reading a while ago. There's a story where the religious leaders come to Jesus, and there's a guy, I think he was crippled, and they're like, Who sinned? Was it his mom or his dad or somebody in his family that sinned that caused him to be crippled? And Jesus is like, it didn't have nothing to do with sin. In that moment, it was actually, that was a moment that it was set up so that Jesus could be exalted, right? But it's just not always that way. Sometimes it just happens. And the sooner we stop looking at who's to blame, the sooner, I don't like the word sooner, the quicker we can start looking for direction and for how to respond and for what the next step is. Instead of looking around, pointing fingers, it's their fault, it's their fault, it's their fault. You know, for years working as a technician with AT&T, if there was an accident, that was the very first thing that they wanted to figure out was whose fault was it? So they knew who to blame, so they could find out who to fire or, you know, who to go after. Right? Let me tell you a story. I was working west of Enid late one night, working what they would call a maintenance cut. Had to be done between midnight and 6. And we did the job, we got finished, I'm driving home, It's about 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm on Highway 412, and it was so dark. No moon. I mean, it was pitch black. And I'm pulling a trailer, going 65 down the highway. And suddenly, there are black Angus cattle all over the highway. Okay? And it's 3 o'clock in the morning, so I'm a little sleepy. Okay? And so I'm doing this with my trailer, trying to dodge all these cows. And I miss them all, except for the one that I hit. And I get through all of these ones, and I kind of go, bam, there it was. Right? And have to call my boss. It's, you know, 3:30 now in the morning, and he's not answering, of course. I wouldn't either. And it just becomes this whole big thing, right? He's mad because he's got paperwork to fill out, emails to send, and phone calls to answer, and all these things just to figure out whose fault it was. The cow. That's right. I didn't even get any of the cow. I mean, that's just, you know. Praise God I wasn't hurt, right? I mean, the only thing that was hurt was the cow. But what was really funny, what? And the truck? That's true. That's true. It wasn't. What was really funny was that they have what they call an accident investigation. Okay? So a few weeks go by, and I have to meet my boss, the safety man, and this union rep, have to meet them at the site of the accident. Okay? So here we stand on the side of this busy highway, looking at a spot in the road, talking about the accident. And in one of my finer moments, the accident investigator says, "Do you know how much damage was done to the truck?" I said, "No, a lot, but I don't know." He said, "Was it totaled?" I said, I have no idea. I'm not a mechanic. It's not what I do. But it was bad. It couldn't be driven. He said, "Okay." He said, "What about the cow?" I said, "It was totaled." My boss didn't want me to see him laugh, so he had to turn his head. But that was one of my finer moments. But it was so funny to just be standing there trying to figure out whose fault it was. It's a cow in the middle of the road at 3:30 in the morning. Who cares whose fault it was? Nobody was hurt. Everybody was okay but the cow. And it was, right? And it's a cow. You know, sure it was important to somebody. Wasn't to me. But it's just our natural instinct is to figure out, point finger, whose fault it was. Who broke the dish in the house? Who broke somebody else's toy? Who broke my tablet or my laptop? Now I'm investigating that one. Like, we're calling CSI on that one. No, but it's just all of these things. And sometimes I love that this verse says, "And it happened." Because it wasn't about whose fault it was. Doesn't spend a lot of time blaming the nurse. The nurse was fleeing. The nurse was trying to take care of this kid. The nurse was just running. And just doing what she thought she needed to do to take care of this kid. And it happened. Nobody's fault. Nobody point fingers. Nobody blaming. It just happened. Chapter 9 of 2 Samuel, verse 1. Then David said, "Is there yet anyone left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. So you got Mephibosheth, who was Jonathan's son, who's crippled. And now David's looking for someone that he can show kindness to. That is from Jonathan's lineage. Right? Not because of Saul, because of Jonathan. For those of you that are unfamiliar with the story at all, Jonathan was the son of Saul. And Saul was the king. And David was going to be the next king. And so somewhere in there, Saul began to hate David. Hate him desperately. I mean, really, really hated him. Threw spears at him. But then wanted him to, like, David would play the harp and Saul would go from this crazy guy to, oh, everything's fine. And then yet, David, he's still throwing spears at David. Like, there was nothing about him other than the fact that it seems like he was just, he was afraid of losing his position and his title and afraid of the up-and-coming, gonna-be next king, that he developed this anger, this hate, this attitude towards David. And he chased David, chased him all over trying to kill him. I mean, chased him all over. Some of my favorite moments with David are when David's in a cave and Saul happens to come into the cave and he doesn't know David's in the cave. And David just kind of slips in and does something to let him know that, hey, I saw you in the cave and I could have killed you, but I didn't. Right, those are some of my favorite moments. In fact, one of my favorite books that beat me up, I mean, it beat me up. The first half of it, I was like, yes, 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 that's right. And the second half of it, I went, oh, Lord, forgive me, I'm so stupid, I can't believe I did that. It's called A Tale of Three Kings, and it's a great book. It's an old book, but it's a great book. And it just really challenged me in honoring leadership. Because someday you might be in leadership. And as Brother Bill has always said, the laws of sowing and reaping are still in effect. Right? Just be aware. You won't gripe about your boss? Just be aware. Someday you might be the boss somebody else is griping about. Right? So David says, is there anybody left in the house of Jonathan that I can show kindness to? Because David and Jonathan were close, were super close. In fact, 1 Samuel 18, 3 says, then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan and David were so close, best friends, BFFs. Maybe even as close as brothers or even closer than brothers. Like these two guys really, really cared for each other. That's why David had this moment where he said, is there anybody left that's related to Jonathan that I can show kindness to? Because what had happened is that Saul and Jonathan had both been killed. They both had been slain. And so even their houses, everybody thought that everyone related to Saul and Jonathan were basically gone. And David says, is there anybody left related to Jonathan that I can show kindness to? And maybe there was more of a purpose to Mephibosheth getting crippled. Maybe if he hadn't been crippled, maybe he would have been in the fight and been in the battle. I don't know. Bible doesn't say anything about it. Bible just says it happened. Maybe if he hadn't been in that position, maybe he would have been on the front lines. Maybe he would have been one of the ones that was destroyed like everybody else in their houses. But it wasn't about what happened to Mephibosheth. Jonathan and David were so close for so long. that they develop this close bond. That even after David knew that Jonathan and most likely his entire family had been destroyed, he's just thought, man, surely there's somebody left of Jonathan's that I can bless and show kindness to. But it wasn't about who the grandfather was. Because for David, the grandfather was inconsequential to him. He didn't care who Jonathan's dad was. It didn't matter to him. Yeah, Jonathan's dad was mean to David. Yeah, Jonathan's dad chased him. Yeah, Jonathan's dad luckily was not very good with his spear. Luckily, you know, he wasn't a good tracker. He wasn't a good, you know, chaser. He wouldn't have been great at playing tag. I mean, luckily for David, Saul was just not good at some of these things. Maybe he was too blinded by rage. Maybe he hated too much. Because sometimes you can hate too much. In fact, I think hating any is probably too much. But David could easily have said, you know, because of Saul, I don't care about Jonathan. Because of Saul, I don't care if his family ever lives past today. I don't care if there's anybody left. If he had just been focused on Saul, but he wasn't just focused on Saul, he was focused on Jonathan. He was focused on the son. Not the father, the son. And then they find Mephibosheth. Verse 9:3 of 2 Samuel. The king said, "Is there anyone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan who is crippled in both feet." Somebody tell me his name. Mephibosheth. That's not easy for an Okie to say. I'm just going to tell you right now. David gets the answer. There is somebody left. But you don't want to try to say his name. There is someone that you can bless. There is someone that you can show kindness to. A son of Jonathan. And he's crippled. Might need kindness shown to him. Might be just the kind of person. It's not going to be an easy one. It's not like he can just, you know, hey, here's $20. That's kindness. He was crippled. He was going to need a lot of, I mean, he was going to need a lot. If you've ever worked with disabled people, they need a lot of help, right? And so he was. If David was going to show kindness to Mephibosheth, he was going to have to show a lot of kindness to Mephibosheth. And who would need it more than Mephibosheth? I'm just trying to show you how many times I can say the name. And it was great because it wasn't just someone from the lineage. It was Jonathan's actual son. Can't get much closer than a son to be able to bless the father. Though the father's gone, in his memory, he's trying to honor him and show that he really, really did love Jonathan, that he really, really did care for Jonathan. So they find this son, and this son needs a lot of help. And so I'm just so... I'm so reminded of so many people that I know who didn't do anything
just like Mephibosheth. It just happened. They didn't cause it to happen. They didn't ask for it to happen. They didn't provoke it to happen. It just happened. Whether it was abuse or neglect or an accident or whatever it was, it wasn't like it just happened. And just like Mephibosheth, he was changed in that moment forever. And not because he did anything, it just changed. And I think about people that I know that have dealt with, and still to this day, I know people that things happened to them 50 and 60 years ago, and they still are dealing with the consequences of that today. Just as if they were crippled, but their wounds don't show like a handicapped person's would, like a disabled person's would. But yet they're still dealing with it. Hurts, angers, abuses, mistreatments. I look at Mephibosheth and I see more than just crippled. I see someone who was hurt. I see someone who was broken. I see someone who's dealing with something that is not any of their fault. And could so easily be looking at somebody else to say, you did this. It's your fault. It's your fault. Or even blaming God. Why did you let this happen? Why? So easy to ask that question. And I understand the question. And you know what? I know people who believe you should never question God. I serve a God who's big enough to answer questions. I serve a God who is big enough to say, you may not know today, but someday you'll see. I look at Mephibosheth and I see more than just physical harm. I see it as so many people who are out there right now walking around hurting with nobody knowing it. It doesn't show like it does when I had my boot on, when I was rolling around in the wheelchair and going around on my little scooter. Some were hurting and it doesn't show like that. Could the church say, is there someone we can show kindness to? Like, is there anybody? See, the thing was, it wasn't who Mephibosheth was that made David want to bless him. It wasn't because he was crippled, which would have been a good reason. But it had nothing to do with Mephibosheth. It was all about who his father was. It was all about who his father was that made David want to bless him. You see, it's all about who your father is that brings a blessing. It's all about who your father is. And it's all about who their father is that should help us have the desire and the heart to want to bless, to show kindness to show love to pour out affection upon, to do whatever we can to help them because they are hurting, they are broken, they are damaged, they are whatever, just like me, but different. Not about who they are, about whose they are. When we see them as his, or at least having the potential to be his, then it changes how we see them, right? Whether we know if they are or aren't doesn't matter. It's they have that potential. They all have potential. Every one of them. See, it was because of who Mephibosheth's father was that David was going to bless him was all about how he was related to the one that he loved. They're related to the one that you love. They're related to the one who poured out his love on you. They're related to the one who gave all he had for you and for me and for them. That's what it's all about. It was 100% about you at one time. Because he wanted you so desperately and so badly. And he knew who your father could be. He knew who your father could be. And so he chased after you. He went after you like Saul went after David, but in a good way. Right? Chasing after him. Not throwing spears at you. Not you know, trying to get you to, you know, set a trap for you to fall into a pit and die. Nothing like that. He was after you because he wanted a relationship with you. Because verses 5 and 6 of 2 Samuel 9. David sent and brought him from the house of yeah, that guy. Machir, the son of Amiel, that's easier to say, from Lodabar. Not the Hidabar, the Lodabar. Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and prostrated himself. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he said, here is your servant. I love this because Mephibosheth knows his history. He knows who his grandfather was. He knows what his grandpa did trying to kill David. And he knows that the guy that his grandpa spent so much time trying to kill is right there in front of him and has every right and every opportunity to destroy him. He knows his history. You know, sometimes knowing your history works against you because you assume that everybody else knows your history too. And that they're going to hold it against you just like you do. Or like other people have. Sometimes your history works against you just even in your own mind. Like Mephibosheth, I feel like he was dead before he ever even got to David in his mind. Like he's walking the Green Mile or something. He's walking that, you know, or he's not walking, he's crippled. But he's being carried to or rolled to or however they transported him. To his death, his doom is coming. His death is coming. And so he just gets there and he just falls down on his face and just says, he just like throwing himself at the mercy of David, expecting the worst. Just knowing it's going to be the worst. All because of his past. Not even his past. But your family's past doesn't have to be your future. It doesn't have to be. Your family's past doesn't have to be your future. Thank God. Because if my family's past was my future, ooh, bless Jesus, I would probably still be inebriated this morning if my family's past was my future. But my family's past is not my future. My future is brighter. But I looked at my kids when we had kids, and I looked at how I grew up, and I said, I don't ever want my kids to think these things are normal. This is just what you do, because that's what I thought was normal, right? So I made decisions different than that once we had kids. I don't want them to think that's normal, because I wanted their future to be different. I didn't. If they were going to have issues, they were going to be different issues, or they were going to be issues that I didn't present to them. Well, my dad just showed me that's what you do. No, that's not what dad showed you. Sometimes I look at them and go, who showed you that? Because that's not what I taught you. I don't know where you got that. But bless Jesus, sometimes they pick it up.
mama's fault. No, just kidding. I'm just teasing. She's the one that got me to church, so just so y'all know. See? Nine, seven is where it all comes to a head. So he's laying there prostrate before David, just knowing doom's coming, just knowing his head's going to be chopped off, or he's going to be, who knows what's going to happen to him. He just knows it. And David says to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show kindness to you for the sake of your father, Jonathan, and will restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul. And you shall eat at my table regularly." Here's the thing, church. Your brokenness, your hurt, your pain, your fear, all of that, all of it, it happened. I'm not going to tell you it didn't happen. And I'm not going to tell you it didn't hurt. I'm not going to tell you that there was no pain involved. I'm not going to tell you that it was anybody's fault. Some of it was somebody's fault, but I know it wasn't his fault. I know it wasn't, he didn't set some of those things up for you. He didn't encourage someone to do whatever they did to you, to say whatever they said about you, or to hurt you or harm you, or any of those things. Had nothing to do with God and his plan. It just happened. But because of who your father is, because of who your father is, there's room at the table even for the broken, even for the hurting, even for the ones that are so wounded. There is room at the table for each and every one of us, each and every one of them. That's why Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners, because he knew they were broken and beaten and hurt. He said, "I came for the sick, not for the healthy." Right? Because of who your father is, there is the opportunity to eat at the table, to be a part of that family. Like David was bringing Mephibosheth into his family to come eat at his table, not because of anything, not Mephibosheth wasn't going to work. He wasn't going to do anything. He just said, "I want to show kindness because of who your father was. So you're going to eat at my table regularly. Every day you're not going to go hungry because you're going to eat at my table because of who your father is." See? Question number one, who's your father? And that's an easy solution. I didn't grow up with a real close relationship to my father. My father had remarried and had two other kids, and so I was kind of cast aside a lot. He was doing the best he could, okay? Not angry, mad, just is what it is. Wasn't my fault, but it happened. I understand it better now as an adult than I did as a kid. He was just trying to raise his family. But when I really came to know who my Father in heaven was, is where everything changed for me. Because I knew and learned that Father wasn't there to hurt me. He wasn't there to abandon me. "Never shall I leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you, lo, to the end of the age," right? I mean, found out he was going to be there no matter what.
because that's what a father does. That's what a good father does. See, so the first thing to establish, you want to eat at the table regularly, who's your father? You have to allow him to be the father for you to be the son. Right? So we're going to close our eyes, we're going to bow our heads, and we're going to just take a minute. Some of you, some of us, carry hurts from way back, and some carry them from more recent. And many of us had a hard time, maybe still have a hard time, seeing God as the Father, because our picture of Father is not great. But when you realize that he's the kind of father that you always wanted, who would listen and who would be there no matter what, you can start to begin a relationship with him with trust and with confidence that he'll always be there. I see the story of Mephibosheth as a young man who was without a father and found himself hurt. So if there's anyone here this morning that has never established God the Father as your father, not a grandfather, there, God has no grandchildren, you're a son or a daughter or not. That's it. Not because of who your mom is or your dad is, because of who he is. Anyone that wants to begin that relationship with God right now. Oh, Father. Okay. Now. Without anyone looking around, those of you that know you carry hurts from the past, because it happened, it happened. Raise your hand. Yes, Lord, it's all those hands. There is room. Okay. I'm going to pray right now. Father, you are the healer of every broken condition. You can heal every hurt. You can help us, Lord, to remember and to know that it doesn't matter whose fault it was. But it wasn't a part of your plan. God, I pray that we would find forgiveness for those hurts, because forgiveness is where healing begins, and it's where anger ends. So, Father, I pray that right now you heal every broken condition among us, God. Father, I pray that our Father, the best Father, the great Father, would pour out his love upon us. I thank you, Lord, for the story of Mephibosheth, Lord. I thank you, God, that though he was crippled, though he was hurt, though he was broken, Lord, you still wanted to show kindness to him and bless him, God, that he was able to eat at David's table. That David accepted him in because of who his father was. Help us be your church, Lord, and accept those hurting and broken into this church because of who their father is. Help us to accept them into our family to welcome them with open arms, with love, your love. Remembering who we were, knowing who they could be. Father, I thank you for our time together as we remember Mephibosheth, God. Keep his name and his story on our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Mephibosheth. Now you can impress people with how you can say Mephibosheth. Well, some of you can. Some of you still can't.